The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Greetings on this New Year's Eve. This is the December issue of Our State Magazine, which is their annual Christmas edition. Our first article will be Winter Wonderland. At Birch Flower Shop, Ashboro residents find comfort, joy, and inspiration by the bouquet. Inside Birch Flower Shop in Ashboro, employees scurry about. After all, Christmas is just 2 weeks away. At the counter, a customer presents a miniature red sleigh. "I want you to put an arrangement in this," she says. "You said you did such a great job last year. I'll show you a picture of that one." In the back room, florist's fingers fashion white chrysanthemums into two pieces of foam to create a cross of lacy petals. A couple of workers stand in front of the wall of ribbon. Four shelves, stacked to the ceiling, hold columns of color stretching 21 spools tall. They uncurl rolls, form loops, and tie knots to create beautiful bows. By the end of the season, the bow count numbers into the thousands. Out front, customers will mill about in the 3,000-square-foot showroom. Vignettes suggest different styles they might replicate in their own homes. Arrangements of clove-studded citrus fruits and leathery magnolia leaves recall colonial Williamsburg. Bare branches flocked with fresh fallen snow, perched with red cardinals and fluffy owls, appeal to nature lovers. A whimsical tree, trimmed with pink tinsel and ornaments shaped like cupcakes, and cartoon mice encourages childlike delight. Nativity scenes, carolers with rounded mouths, and stately reindeer in white, gold, and silver evoke a classic Christmas aesthetic. No matter the reason for the visit, a special gift for a friend, a new decoration for one's own home, a fresh arrangement to express care, concern, or love, customers have frequented Birch Flower Shop since 1950. They come for the products, yes, but more than that, their long-standing devotion lies in how the shop and its people make them feel. It's no coincidence that Michael Trogdon says the best part of owning Birch is the relationships. "I love flowers and all the beautiful things we sell," he says, "but my favorite part is the people I work with, the people who are my customers, and the new people I get to meet." Trogdon started working at Birch in 1978 at age 19. The original owners, sister-in-law, Aunt Anita and Ethel Birch, were looking for a delivery boy to shuttle orders around town in the afternoons. Trogdon, a recent graduate of nearby Eastern Randolph High School, fit the bill. 2 years later, at age 21, Trogdon and a business partner purchased the flower shop. 20 years after that, when his partner was ready to retire, Trogdon bought out her portion. "Really, besides the farm I grew up on in Coleridge, this is the only place I've ever worked," he says. "I wouldn't take anything for the years I've had here." While the shop changes with the seasons year-round, always offering decor, floral arrangements, bows, garden flags, and candles, Christmas calls for a different kind of energy. Before the tinsel and trees are packed up in late December, Trogdon and 10 employees plan for next year. They evaluate what was a hit, what didn't do so well, and what trends are emerging. In January, Trogdon attends America's Mart in Atlanta, and he orders Christmas merchandise by February. Products begin arriving in June, and most items are in-house by September. As soon as the jack-o'-lanterns go dark on October 31st, Trogdon readies Birch for its annual Christmas open house the first week of November. 300 customers come through in 4 days to get a glimpse of new holiday hallmarks they might add to their homes. In addition to shopping, customers gain inspiration. They ask questions about how to take the looks from Birch and recreate them. Often the most popular pieces appeal to a person's past. "Tradition is always good," Trogdon says. The vintage-looking things are really popular right now. Someone will say, "I remember my aunt had something like that, and this reminds me of her." Betty S. Cavanis has been shopping at Burge Flower Shop since she and her husband settled in Ashboro in 1958. After traveling the country following his Air Force orders, the family returned to Cavanis's hometown with a travel trailer, a few household items, and not much else. Over the years, she has collected all sorts of Santas and hundreds of ornaments, many from Burge. "It's just a magical place to go in there," she says. "I'm not able to go out a lot, but I go in there." At age 94, Cavanis doesn't decorate like she used to when she'd erect a large tree in her living room, rimmed with a train in Christmas Village. When she worked in the Randolph County Clerk of Court office, she'd give co-workers handmade gifts every Christmas. She dabbled in painting, crocheting, and candy making. These days, her main commitment is preparing Sunday lunch for family, friends, and neighbors. She does most of the cooking and always sets a festive table, often with a table runner, glassware, and figurines from Burge, or Michael's as she refers to it. "I'm not sure where he gets all of his ideas, but boy, he comes up with them," she says. "He's very talented, but he's more than talented. He's kind and courteous and warm-hearted." Before Trogdon started at Burge, he thought that most wealthy people purchased flowers. He quickly learned that this line of work attracts customers from all walks of life, and the situations often associated with floral purchases require those in the business to navigate a range of human emotions, from a family preparing for a funeral to a new dad wanting roses for the hospital. "We deal with it all." Longtime customer Alana Robinson recalls attending a funeral for a co-worker's husband a few years ago. The widow requested nothing but roses. If a young man wanted to get his wife or girlfriend a rose that week, there probably was not one to be had in Ashboro because Michael went out of his realm to buy roses for the widow's husband. Robinson said, "I've never seen so many roses in my life." Robinson began shopping at Burge 33 years ago as a newly married homeowner looking for a few things to make her house feel special. Since then, she's relied on the shop throughout numerous seasons of her life. When her late father had dementia, Robinson took him out on Saturday mornings to give her mom a break. She always stopped by Burge. Trogdon's mother worked in the shop, and upon every visit, she greeted Robinson and her father and escorted him around, showing him things and giving him pieces to hold and feel. In 2021, when Robinson contracted COVID, her best friend ordered a flower delivery from Burge. Robinson's husband met the delivery man at the door and explained the situation. A few days later, Robinson received a get-well card from Burge, signed by all of its employees. "That delivery guy didn't have to go back and say anything, but he did," she said, "and that really meant a lot to me." Each year, Robinson attends Burge's Christmas open house. She enjoys the ambiance of flickering trees and candles and lamps after dark. "It's almost magical in a way," she says, "and sometimes I think we need a little bit more of that." When Trogdon works late during the holidays, he watches cars slow down and cruise through the parking lot, sometimes parking to admire his window displays. At a time when nearly any piece of decor or gift could be purchased online, loyal regulars continue to visit Burge in person. Trogdon sees customers who make the drive from Burlington, Kernersville, and other surrounding towns. One particular customer sometimes comes in and says, "Michael, I'm not going to buy anything today. I just need 30 minutes of feeling good." So she walks around the shop, admires the decorations, and watches the florists and bow makers. And without purchasing anything at all, she leaves Burge Flower Shop feeling better than when she came in. No matter the season, everyone could use a place that makes them feel like that. Burge Flower Shop is located at 625 South Fayetteville Street in Ashboro, North Carolina. And their website is burgeflowershop.com. And Burge is spelled B like boy, U-R-G-E, burgeflowershop.com. Our next article is entitled Room at the Inn. A pair of mother-daughter innkeepers inherited the love of hosting from their expansive family. At Christmas time, they welcome guests to their historic lodge in Stanley County. And there's a couple of photos here. At Christmas, employees of the 1913 Baden Inn deck the halls and walls inside and out. And we have a rather rustic-looking fireplace, old-looking fireplace, and with burning with logs in there, and covered with all sorts of greenery on the mantel and red bows, pine cones, looks like holly berries, and some candles, and a photo of, a print of Santa. And then we have the actual inn itself. Looks like there's a little bit of snow on the ground, and a blue awning leading up to the main entrance, and the big wide porch, a very welcoming looking inn. After a day spent on planes and airports and amid crowds, Dennis and Stephanie Farias have finally made it to the tiny town of Baden, where Stephanie's parents live. It's almost midnight on Christmas Eve, and at the end of their long trip from Nevada, the couple approaches the 1913 Baden Inn, a three-story white structure with a wraparound veranda. Wreaths with red bows hang on the windows. Seasonal pillows rest on outdoor rockers, and lights spiral around the classic columns, their twinkles reflected in the 100-year-old window panes. When the couple steps inside the Stanley County landmark, they're greeted by a well-dressed Christmas tree, a life-size nutcracker, and a portrait of Santa above the fireplace, and they can finally relax and enjoy the holiday. "We're so relieved to be here. It's like we've come home," Dennis says. Stephanie agrees. "It may be late when we get in, but the innkeepers even have Christmas music playing. The lobby is decorated and all lit up. After they enjoy a few midnight snacks, they'll make their way to the room, where the vintage furniture harks back to the era in which the inn was built. It's all been lovingly selected by the women who make this place a home away from home." Innkeepers Vanessa Mullinax and her daughter Jennifer Owens host visitors year-round, and come Christmas time, they transform the inn into a festive respite. Relatives visiting locals fill the inn during the holiday season, which is why Mullinax and Owens make the space as cozy and inviting as possible. Over the past few weeks, the women have lugged 16-foot garlands down three flights of stairs to hang above the French doors on the front and side of the inn. They've filled urns on the veranda with branches. They've woven evergreen sprays around each chandelier. "Instead of decorating our own homes, we spend 2 weeks with our incredible staff hanging greenery and lights," Owen says. "Mom and I even take the golf cart up behind the inn to gather branches of pine and cedar, magnolia and nandina. The pair and their staff spend countless hours making the inn feel like home for those who left theirs for the holidays. Of course, everybody has a full plate at Christmas, and our families don't get enough credit for the patience and understanding they show us. Their guests might wonder, how do these women celebrate the holidays when they spend all their time making a beautiful space for everyone else's Christmas celebrations? Before the welcome chaos of the holidays begin, the women fortify themselves, body and soul, by connecting with their loved ones back home in Alamance County. Here's what that looks like. After a prayer of heartfelt thanks for God's blessings, a line of hungry people wind around rows of tables inside a cozy cabin. Mullinax and Owens are surrounded by extended family, as they are every year on the second Saturday in December. That's when the two women and their husbands return to Mullinax's hometown of Burlington for a Christmas celebration near the home place where Stephen and Violet Wilson raised her and her 11 siblings. Those siblings, their spouses, children, grandchildren, cousins, and close friends, well over 100 people, come from near and not so far, carrying platters and bowls of food. Hearty greetings and hugs abound, even for first-time attendees, including slightly overwhelmed fiancés. Across the yard, folks balancing plates filled with home-cooked delicacies head toward Santa's sleigh and a freshly cut Christmas tree. They settle at a dozen or more tables under a shelter built by Mullinax's older brother, Mike. four generations, a savor of family memories, and share news of the year almost gone. Though she's 70 now, Mullinax is still greeted with a bear hug from Mike. Her eyes brim with tears as she tries to express her thanks for all he's done to make this reunion possible. Back when Mullinax and her siblings were young, Christmas Eves were spent at Staley Memorial Baptist Church up the hill from their home. Afterwards, the kids would race back, knowing that Santa, a friend of their parents, would be waiting to hear their last-minute wishes and that the table would be covered with desserts. "My whole childhood was a party," Mullinax says. After the children had grown up and their parents had died, the house sat empty and quiet. Christmas gatherings moved a few miles away to where Mike had first built the log cabin for his daughter's wedding reception in 2002. A few years later, he added an expansive picnic shelter to the venue so the ever-growing family could gather in comfort. "Being with my family always brings so much joy and gratitude," Owen says. "I'm grateful for the lessons my aunts and others that created a special place in my heart for hosting." Like Mike, who provided a gathering place for the family's cherished tradition, Mullinax and Owens want to do the same thing for those who come to their Baden Inn for the holidays. As a young woman, Mullinax married and moved to Albemarle, where Owens was born. The couple later divorced, but Mullinax stayed, working at the local cotton mill and then the aluminum plant. In 1993, she married a man with deep Stanley County roots and eventually opened Cottage House Antiques. Her congenial manner turned the cozy retail space into a gathering spot where she would share the stories of Baden with curious customers. She told them about the French industrialists who came to this region in 1912 to build a town, an aluminum smelting plant, the same one where she'd work, and a giant concrete dam and powerhouse on the nearby Yadkin River. She pointed out the French influence visible in the current town's curving streets with the distinctive roof lines of neighborhood quadruplexes, and most notably in a three-story white building among the pines, which was then known as Baden Club House, where bachelor engineers and the plant's office staff once lived. It later became Stanley County Country Club and later the Baden Inn Golf Club, a popular community gathering place where Owens wound up working as a server in her early 20s. The golf course struggled and eventually closed in 2017, and the building stood vacant for about 2 years. Owens watched its gradual decline and hoped that someone would save the historic property. "Seeing it become a neglected old building hurt my heart," she said. "So when Mom approached me in 2019 about buying it, something very unexpected had come full circle." Mother and daughter, now partners in business, have infused new life into Baden's history, adapting the storied clubhouse for overnight guests and milestone events. One local family rents a room for Christmas Eve so they can place their gifts under the tree in the lobby and open them in front of the fireplace on Christmas morning. "I love it when families make memories like that at the inn," Owen says. Guests like Dennis and Stephanie Farris are especially grateful for the innkeeper's revitalization of this hidden gem. Vanessa and Jennifer have made it possible for us to be comfortable in Baden for the holiday. This year, the couple looks forward to enjoying the inn's newly opened 1913 bistro. "We feel the inn is part of our lives now," he says, "a Christmas tradition." And the Baden Inn, the 1913 Baden Inn, is located at 107 Spruce Street in Baden, North Carolina, 28009. And that's spelled B like boy, A D like David, I N like November. Baden, or Baden, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. 2013badeninn.com is the website. And our last article is entitled, "The Spark It Takes." Edenton's annual Christmas candlelight tour embodies how generosity and hospitality can spread warmth and goodness into the world, one light at a time. And there's a couple of photos here at the beginning. Built in 1810, Beverly Hall will be included on Edenton's Christmas candlelight tour this year. The Federal-style home has been on the tour many times, and it's got a square two-story porch on the front, and looks like a widow's walk on top as well, and sort of a yellow color in the color painted on the bricks. The sun has barely begun its descent as Alexis Tobias Jacobon, a historian with Edenton Historical Commission, greets guests at the Penelope Barker House Welcome Center. The home overlooks Edenton Bay and holds the town's 300 years' worth of history, a fitting launchpad for an event hosted by the Historical Commission. As the circa 1782 building's rooms fill with wall-to-wall visitors, Tobias Jacobon can feel the energy that pulses from the former home of Penelope Barker, who was one of the 51 area women who signed a statement supporting boycotts in response to the British Parliament's Tea Act of 1773. The candlelight tour hasn't always been the event it is today. When it started 43 years ago, it was a small affair, just a handful of houses and a couple hundred people, Tobias Jacobon says. The fact that all these people come to our small town to appreciate what we have to offer, and they're so happy. It's a real energy, the highlight of their year, she says. Now it's an event that sells out of tickets by the end of October. From the Penelope Barker House, tourists set off on foot to the featured neighborhood, which rotates each year. This time, the tour winds through the west side of town, near the waterfront. Part of the downtown historic district was planned back in 1712 when North Carolina's colonial government decided to establish a courthouse in Edenton, or Ye Town on Queen Anne's Creek, Tobias Jacobon says. It was laid out on a grid, so it's walkable and easy to navigate. Sometimes Santa makes an appearance on the candlelight tour. The Edenton Baptist Church has been known to open its sanctuary for a handbell choir performance. Last year, the Kadesh AME Zion Church choir sang Christmas hymns at the Masonic Lodge. Notes of Silent Night rang out into the streets, drawing passersby to join in for a hymn or two before moving on to their next stop. Joy fills the air. Some people are looking for decorating inspiration, Tobias Jacobon says. Some people love seeing the architecture, but for everyone, it's an opportunity for good cheer. Sam was away at college when his parents helped organize the original candlelight tour. After he graduated and worked in Raleigh for a few years, he and Gray and their oldest daughter moved back to Beverly Hall, Sam's childhood home. At the same time, his parents moved from the main house to the backyard building they called a library. They told me, "Look, you have to open this place when anybody asks. If you don't enjoy it and you don't want to share it, there's not much need to have it," Sam recalls. Like Sam's parents, the Edenton Historical Commission appreciates the value of its town structures. Proceeds from the candlelight tour go toward keeping the Barker House open. The EHC, also involved in restoration efforts like that of the Kadesh AME Zion Church, which was ravaged by Hurricane Isabel in 2003. Sam points to the 1758 Cupola House, originally built by a land agent for the Earl of Granville during the colonial period, as an example of historic preservation success. In 1918, after the house had fallen into disrepair, the Brooklyn Museum came to Edenton in the dark of night and bought all the interior woodwork, he says. When we started the candlelight tour 40 years ago, we were still trying to keep a roof on the Cupola House. Now, after 105 years, the Cupola House Association has signed an agreement to uninstall the house's original woodwork from the Brooklyn Museum and bring it home. "I'm so excited, sometimes I can't sleep at night," Sam says. "If you have a little colonial town like we do, surrounded by fields and water, it's worth protecting. Everybody is all in on this idea that it takes a group effort to keep historic preservation going. Everybody plays a part. This just happens to be our part." To learn more about Edenton Christmas Candlelight Tour, visit ehcnc.org. That's EHC like Charlie, N like November, C like Charlie.org. And there's a couple of photos here that are interesting. During the tour, good cheer is spread throughout the community in horse-drawn carriage rides, caroling, and general good-heartedness. And we have a picture of a couple of draft horses pulling a carriage, and we have some Victorian-dressed singers singing Christmas carols. Picking an article from our Roads and Routes section of the magazine, this one's entitled Deck the Rails. All aboard! This magic-filled train ride through a Montgomery County wonderland includes seasonal sweets, plenty of cheer, and a few extra special passengers. If Santa had his own train, it would certainly stop in a place named Star. This tiny town has always been known for its holiday spirit. Its Christmas parade is one of the oldest in the state. The post office holds a holiday stamp cancellation contest each year. And Star Works, its art center, draws shoppers from all around for an annual ornament sale. So is it any surprise that Aberdeen, Carolina, and Western Railway chose Star as a stop for its new Carolina Christmas train? As the whistle reverberates through the December night, families with children, some clad in pajamas, board the train from a hub of twinkling lights in front of Star Works. Joyful carols ring out over the intercom, and scents of hot cocoa and sugar cookies fill the train cars. Children savor their sweets between visits with such lauded guests as Santa, Mrs. Claus, and the Grinch. During the hour-long ride, the train stops at circa 1919 Little River Trestle. At 125 feet, it's the highest in the county, providing the perfect vantage point for a light show set to festive music. As children and their parents depart, they pass once more through a maze of lights. From there, they'll head home where visions of sugar cookies and holiday trains are sure to dance in their heads. For more information about the Aberdeen, Carolina, and Western Railway's Carolina Christmas train, visit acwr.com/excursions. And we have a little picture here from the Summit View car. Jenny, Tony, Nicholas, and Noah DeMaio await the Carolina Christmas train's wonders. And each looks like the train car itself is decorated on the inside, and they all have Santa hats on and their jammies, and they're looking at as they see the Christmas tree and the lights out the window. And then we have a picture of the Aberdeen, Carolina, and Western, the Carolina route. And it's a red train, red and gold train. Looks very vintage. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available at our podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.